Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues. We're having some technical issues right now. We got them figured out. I want to introduce to you our host, as always, Tim Wildman.
Thank you, Steve Jordahl. Technical issues where I couldn't get my earpiece back on. But Walker helped me. Walker's an earpiece engineer.
Yeah, you were preoccupied.
He's good.
I was. I had to go get some popcorn. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. We'll be here for another 25 minutes. And Walker is keeping us going on our... Did we ever get our Facebook live feed fixed?
We did. We are back up and streaming on Facebook. Okay. So if you've been missing it, you can go there and watch the show.
You folks can comment there?
That's right.
Anybody comment from Jacksonville, Florida?
Not that I've seen yet.
Do we even have one listener to that station?
Yeah, we've got a listener.
We do have one.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Yeah.
Well, I cannot disclose that.
Oh, okay. It's confidential.
I'll tell you what. You post on our Today's Issues Facebook page that you're listening to our Jacksonville, Florida station, and we'll send you a
coffee mug,
a free travel mug, AFR stainless steel travel mug.
How about this? If we get a couple listeners from Jacksonville, how about I can make arrangements down the road sometime to get one of their hometown heroes, a guy that played for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
It's a friend of mine that
really?
We might be able to have him on the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to.
We'll talk about
that.
He's a pastor now.
Okay. A pro football player to being a pastor, huh?
There you go.
Is the income about the same?
Just you think you'd drop a couple zeros, I think you're in the ballpark.
Yeah. But you don't have to worry about concussions, though.
Well,
generally speaking.
I've heard of some board meetings where it's been pretty dicey.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Steve Jordahl is here with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, all.
What's happening?
Well, I want to bring you some breaking news. Now, Tim, we've been fairly hard on the NFL for the way they handled the Colin Kaepernick saga and the national anthem stuff, and we've noted that the attendance is down. But I have a story that's maybe going to change a couple minds. This is from the NFL Files. Just announced this morning, NFL owner Pat McCaskey, co-owner of the Chicago Bears, is going to speak at the 2018 March for Life in Chicago.
That's great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He'll be joining.
So they're having a March for Life in Chicago?
Yeah, the March for Life happens, I guess, in several different cities around the country. But this one is going to be, I saw a date here, January 14th, so it's coming right up.
He's the co-owner, would you say?
He's a co-owner of the Chicago Bears.
Good for him.
But he's the principal owner, Pat McCaskey, is the one that they talk about. So he will be on the stage with, I guess it's Abby Johnson, they just say a former Planned Parenthood director, and the executive director of the Billy Graham Center of Evangelism and the Archbishop of Chicago. So some kudos to the
Absolutely.
Chicago Bears
Absolutely.
President. We're also hearing that the tax bill is likely to get a vote today, this afternoon in the House, and perhaps this evening they're going to try to set the debate up and get it all done by tonight in the Senate. So if that happens, it would be the biggest reform to the tax code in years, in decades.
Yeah, and President Trump said last week, when he was giving a speech on this, that some Americans will see the benefits from this after the new year in February. Now, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to use these same standards to file for your taxes, for your 2017 tax returns in April. Not sure about that, but to some extent, he said the IRS was going to start implementing some of this.
Yeah,
immediately.
My assumption, and I don't have any information, I haven't sourced this or anything, but my assumption would be if you're going in for part of it, you're probably going to go in for the whole thing. So,
right.
I mean, it's going to be law.
Yeah. And it may be that Because taxes are just, you're filling out a form, right?
That, well, so yeah.
If the new form is circulated, then yeah, we could, you may be able to.
And they've been holding up postcards on on the floor. So the postcard thing is a little bit of a oversimplification, should we say, because yes, the information that they're looking can be put on a postcard, but in order to get the correct numbers to be put on the postcard, you have to fill out a couple other forms.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
And originally, it was actually going to fit on a postcard, but they couldn't simplify it enough to make it fit on a postcard.
Tell you how you do that. You have, we were talking this morning in our store meeting, you get a flat tax.
Yeah.
That Fred Jackson was talking about. 10% tax across the board on everybody.
That's
you
don't
even have to. You can just almost abolish the IRS.
Yeah. At
that point.
You know, I'm always amazed by the use of the word fair.
Right.
When it comes to taxation in America. Like you, did you say you're in favor of the flat tax?
I would like to see it tried. Yes.
To me, a true fair tax would be a flat tax, and you know, because otherwise, quote, fairness is subjective, because we have a progressive income tax, federal income tax here in the U.S., and it's based on, you know, you based on how much money you make, and the more money you make, the more more taxes you pay, percentage wise of your income. And if you wanted to be truly quote fair about it, everybody pays the same percentage of whatever their income is, just like the Bible teaches about tithing. It's 10%. That, you know, you don't have a sliding scale,
right?
I think that would be a good model for taxation.
It would seem to be. I think,
but we're not going to get there anytime soon because the class warfare thing comes in. You know,
right.
Oh, the rich don't have to pay their fair share.
Mm-hmm. Well, their fair share right now, the top 1% of income earners are paying 39% of federal income taxes. Tell me
what,
how that's
repeat,
fair.
Repeat that again now.
The top 1% of income earners. This according to the Daily Caller, the Daily Signal. I'm sorry. The top 1% of income earners
in America
pay 39% of federal income taxes.
40%. Drop that down. Does it have the next level in that story?
It might.
Because I think it's – go ahead.
Well, top 10% of earners, those having an adjusted gross income over $138,000, pay 70.6%.
Okay, think about this for just a minute. You're saying to me that 10% of Americans pay 70% of all the federal income tax?
That's correct.
Which keep the government operating.
Which do
pays
which,
for our military, pays for our interstates,
For research on whether crawfish can run the 100-yard dash.
Well, that's one thing. But, I mean, it pays for our government.
Yeah.
Some of our governments... you know, you have to pay. We all want an army, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, it has to pay for things like that. I'm just saying when people, the human tendency is to be jealous of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the human tendency is to be envious. That's why the Bible says don't covet.
Right.
It's one of the big 10, right?
It is.
It's one of the big 10.
One of God's top 10 lists.
Yeah, don't covet. Because why? Because we covet.
Right.
And so... I just I think we need to remember when the Democrats say, well, you know, the Republicans are doing another tax cut for the rich. Well, let's remember that the, quote, rich, which comprised the top 10% of the American earners.
Anybody making over $138,000 a year, which I tell you, in
they
California.
They pay 70% of the taxes.
They do. In California, a couple earning $138,000 is going to get you a modest life, middle income.
This in California, 100 and what?
138.
100 in California, that's lower middle income.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's lower. It's lower middle living. That's for sure.
Right.
I lived
in
there
California.
For a while.
In California, I mean, now you carry that over to you know, other states, poorer states. That's money's going to go a lot further.
Right.
But I'm just saying that when they say, you know, have the quote rich pay their fair share, well. Listen, when 10% of the people are paying 70% of our taxes, it's you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And also, what somebody says, I've never seen a poor people hire anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you need wealthy people in the country to create jobs.
Someone making that kind of money in a small business, for example, probably lives in a modest house, and they're putting the money into the business.
Yeah.
To look at it from the other end, again, according to this article, the bottom 50% of income earners, those having an adjusted gross income of $39,000 or less, pay 2.8% of federal income taxes.
Right. So, anyway.
It's skewed heavily to tax the rich.
So, well, you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip.
Right. And so what they're doing with this particular tax bill
is
they are going to lower the top rate a bit. They're certainly lowering the rate of the business tax, that they're taxing companies, to 20%, 21%, I think is where they ended up. And that's down from 35%, which was the highest of all industrialized countries.
You know, you think our economy's booming right now, Steve? You wait till these tax cuts get implemented.
Yeah.
We're going to see stuff. We're going to see growth we've never seen for decades.
I think that's what the Democrats fear. How many Democrats are going to vote for this?
Well, that depends on how close the vote is. If it comes down to they need every single Republican vote, if it looks like they could possibly derail this, not a single Democrat will vote for it. If it looks like the Republicans have passage in the bag, then the Democrats will release certain members of Congress that need cover at home to vote for this thing.
Yeah,
well, that's lying.
Well, that's the way. That's always the way it's been done.
Yeah, I think some Democrats will vote for this. The reason I say that is because the Senate is so confident that they can pass this, but they only have one Republican vote to spare. Because Senator McCain is still in Arizona.
What about Senator Cochran? Is he back at work, or is he still?
I think he's back. He's going to be back for the vote.
So you got two of them that were out for health reasons, but they're back.
One of them is
Cochran, but not McCain.
Yeah, so that gives you 51 Republican senators. Well, you have to have 50.
So even if they could lose another one and have Vice President Pence come in and cast the tie-breaking vote.
Well, no, you have to. If it's a 50-50, then Pence has to come. But if there's only 49, Pence can't come and be 50.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So they can lose. They won't have McCain.
Right.
And so they'll have 51. If they lose one more vote, then President Pence will have to come.
The one senator who's waffling on this is Senator Flake from Arizona.
Oddly, ironically
and here's,
enough.
Here's his reason for waffling. He wants DACA. This is a Republican senator. He wants to legalize illegal immigrants. And so he's on a mission to get DACA in exchange for tax reform.
Jeff Flake has recently said he's not going to run again. He's lame duck. So
he's the one that wrote the $100 check to Doug Jones in Alabama?
Yes, that's the same person.
A Republican senator writing a check to a liberal Democrat so he can win.
Yeah, and then the next week wanting to get DACA.
And I don't know, but that $100 check put him over the top. You never know.
Well, well, I guess I could understand somebody not taking a position on the Alabama race if they feel troubled by that. But to give money to the enemy, that says to me you don't believe in your own party's platform, because you wouldn't give money to somebody who's a socialist leftist who wants to bring down everything you say you stand for in government. Anyway, you're listening to Matt Flake's resign. He's retiring, right?
That's right.
Okay. In Arizona.
Yep.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Just one note on that. I think that's what the Democrats, as I mentioned yesterday, are most concerned about, worried about, if you will, that these tax cuts or tax reform package, whatever you want to call it, passes.
Mm-hmm.
And the economy is already starting to grow like boom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had a report issued yesterday. Fred talked about it, where the unemployment rate for African Americans is at the lowest it's been in 17 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People are getting jobs. The housing market's taking off. The stock market's going nuts. If the economy continues to improve with this tax reform package, and then the Democrats are worried that President Trump and the Republicans get credit for that, and it means they don't win.
Right.
It's better for the Democrats if the economy tanks and
blame
and,
it on the Republicans.
And blame it on Trump and the Republicans. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that way they can benefit from that.
A long time ago, the Democrats hitched their wagon to the identity politics train.
Mm-hmm.
And that, by its very definition, is where you categorize different groups of people into groups, and you kind of pit one group against the other. You
right.
tell African-American voters, hey, the white man's doing you bad, and
right.
so you don't. You tell women that you have to vote for pro-abortion people because there's evil upon us with these pro-lifers is what
you
they'll
know,
hear. So
the one way that the Democrats could really dampen the fire of the Republicans, and when I mean the fire, I mean like the momentum and
mm-hmm.
the positive things that are going to be done, is if all the Democrats vote for this tax reform bill today.
Then they can go out
and say, we just passed tax reform. And so it won't be a...
No, I know what you're saying, but the hate for Donald Trump
by
the Democrats, the hate for Donald Trump is so, so deep.
Yeah.
That there, President Trump could, anything he's for, all they're going to say is Trump for it, we're against it.
Yeah. You know, it's almost reflexive like that. I said before, I might have said it on this show, I don't believe the Democrats, any of the Democrat leadership, spent 1 minute looking at what was actually in this bill.
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, this is the party of Bernie Sanders now. And the Democrat Party, they want a socialist-type government here in the country with mm-hmm. respect to taxation. If you turn them loose, it would be 50, 60, 70% on a lot of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
Well, you know, we've been talking, it kind of follows on what we were just saying. You hear this constant drumbeat of hate against the president, and it comes from Democrats, but it also comes from the mainstream media, so that anybody that's trying to pay attention hears about the tweets, hears about the battles, hears about how the president is failing. But Byron York in the Washington Examiner had a great column. It says, amid firestorms, Trump has a year of solid policy accomplishments. Can he keep going is the question. So, assuming tax reform passes,
Are you quoting from Byron York now?
I'm quoting here. Assuming tax reform passes and is signed into law, if in, say, 2014, a Republican of either the conservative or moderate variety predicted that in 2017, a newly elected GOP president in Congress would, this is what he's done, cut corporate and individual taxes, repealed Obamacare's individual mandate, appointed a highly respected conservative to the Supreme Court, appointed a one-year record number of judges to the circuit courts, got rid of reams of unnecessary regulations, destroyed ISIS, approved a pipeline project and new drilling, probably every Republican would be cheering,
mm-hmm.
Which speaks poorly to the never-Trumpers that are still in the swamp, that are still kind of backbiting the president.
Yeah. Well, you have a Christian.
That's a solid year for any president, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially when it's hard to get anything passed in the Congress.
Right.
Those are the things you've just mentioned. Because of the 60-vote rule, the filibuster rule, the Republicans mm-hmm. can't get anything passed mm-hmm. in the Congress, much of anything. So all those accomplishments of President Trump in these 11 months or whatever it's been since he's been in office really are things he's been able to do on his own.
Just about.
You know, mm-hmm. on his own. And he's kept a lot of promises already, the president has. And I think they have They keep up with that in the White House, don't they, Walker?
Oh, yeah. They have a – I'm sure – I know when Steve Bannon was there, they literally had a whiteboard full of goals and campaign promises, and they were going through and checking them off, and I still think they're doing that because you see things resurface that were promised during the campaign, such as the embassy change in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not many people were probably talking about that a month ago, but that was a campaign promise, and he fulfilled it.
Also, a lot of people aren't keeping up with this story because ISIS has been out of the off the front page for a while. The reason is it's being demolished.
Yeah.
And even the Iraqi government has credited, I was reading the other day, a top Iraqi official, maybe in the president of the country, he was crediting President Trump and his administration and his generals saying that they are here and they are defeating ISIS, whereas President Obama's team did not. And for some reason, I don't know, they weren't committed to destroying ISIS, and President Trump has basically turned them loose.
I think there was a lot of restrictions that
President Obama
put on the military. We saw this, and this is another story that we can get to more in depth at a later time if you want. But we are learning that President Obama actually restrained the DEA. He restrained the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, which was trying to stop a major crime, drugs and trafficking operation run by Hezbollah.
The terrorist group in Palestine,
Palestinian terrorist group. And because President Obama wanted the deal with Iran so badly, the DEA was closing in, was going to shut down this, what some investigators believed Hezbollah was collecting $1 billion a year. It was called Project Cassandra. And they were getting close to disrupting and shutting that thing down.
Who's they?
They being the DEA, our Drug Enforcement Administration. President Obama put the brakes on them and says, don't do it, because it was going to upset Iran.
Because Hezbollah and Iran work together.
Right.
Where is this being reported?
Well, it first came out in a great article by Politico, and I can't.
That's a serious.
Josh Meyer in Politico. It's a huge, very detailed 30-some page report or story that he did, and it is. It's massive mismanagement at best.
It's scandalous.
It is.
If in fact, and Politico is a center left. News source that covers Congress, and so they're reporting in this in-depth report saying that President Obama's administration, and how far to the, I guess that would, they're saying that goes to the top, interfered with our drug enforcement agencies going after Hezbollah for making millions and millions of dollars, I guess, off drugs, illegal drugs. And told them to back off because we got this deal going on with Iran, and Iran won't deal with us if you continue to go after Hezbollah. Hezbollah and Iran are, they're partners in crime.
It was part of a misguided effort by the president to appease Iran, thinking that he could reason with them. If we admit that America and the West were at fault for some of their grievances, then they would appreciate it and they'd come to the table.
Yeah.
But no,
I think
terrorists, you don't do that. They threw those offers of compliance back in his face.
I think President Obama was just trying to buy Iran off.
Sure. It was a legacy deal for him.
Buy them off. That's why they sent all those hundreds of millions of dollars, wasn't it?
Right. In a plane.
In cash.
In an unmarked plane to Tehran, that's just to pay off Iran for the for the deal and to get our hostages back. I think that was ransom to get our hostages back. All right. Well, thank you, Steve Jordahl.
A pleasure.
Our thanks to Fred Jackson and Walker and Brent and everybody here on the team for today's issues. Stay tuned. Alistair Begg is straight ahead with Bible teaching, and then Janet Mefford, and then on with your day here on American Family Radio. Take care, everybody.